A World of Sound. It's That Man Again, the story of the great radio comedy show Itmar, told by Clarence Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, Itmar!
Everything. But what I can't understand is why he calls himself
Mother Pride and Glory, this is Henry Boyd, for it's useless to complain. When trouble's brewing, it's his doing again, again.
That music was the prelude to the entrance of that man, who used to greet his audiences with,
"Hello, folks."
And after 310 different Itmars, that man, Tommy Handley, died on January the 9th, 1949. Now, what was Itmar, and who was Tommy Handley? This is what Sir William Hayley, the then Director General of the BBC, said.
Tommy Handley and his team, scriptwriter, producer, actors and actresses, created something significant. Itmar spans an age. The very title, with all it denotes, if ever you stop to think about it, tells you how much history its lifetime covers. It's That Man Again originally meant Hitler. How typically English it is that an epithet at first devised for something threatening and hateful should have been transferred to one of the most welcome and most lovable of men. In affliction, in adversity, in triumph, and in austerity, Itmar typified the spirit of the British nation. And Tommy Handley, the man to whom everything happened, who had to suffer curmudgeons and cranks and clowns, who resourcefully came through every ordeal, and whose cheerfulness and sanity never failed, was the man we all of us in our inmost hearts felt ourselves to be.
Who and what were the type of characters who played the Tommy? Well, here are some of us who appeared in the 300th Itmar.
Well, I seem to know all these figures. They look like old friends. My goodness, they are old friends. My old pals of 10 years Itmar. Ah, I know this one. Black coat, black hat, and a white liver.
This is home. Speaking.
Well, I'll go back to Bristol. What a strong smell of arsenic and old camels. You know, I've got a feeling that this is the point when somebody tries to sell me something.
Excuse, please, mister. You buy very saucy postcard? Very funny? Oh, lummy.
Dear old alley-oop, still peddling along. No, I don't want anything today.
No postcard, mister? Pity. All right. I go. I come back.
another salesman, I bet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice day.
No.
Any helicopters, motor cars, or washing machines?
Oh, yes, please.
You can't have them. They're only for export.
Oh, well, what have you come here for, then?
So that I can call again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice day.
Ah, I recognize this guy with the earrings and a blonde on an ice cream cart.
Ah, Mr. Endelbar, to see you, I am delightful.
Senor Soso, well, well, well. Tell me, how are things in Gorgonzola?
They are more than too good. They are not enough. But tonight, I'm as happy as a sandbag. Yes, this is the greatest movement of my life.
I see. Well, what have you been doing since I saw you last?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Good morning, how are you?
As if I cared!
It's Sanford Beckham, the biggest aberystwyth in the world. What have you come for?
Oh, I've come from my village in Wales, and we all tell each other you are wonderful, but you can't believe a word we say.
Hey, boss.
Yes?
Boss, something terrible's happened.
You look as neat as an American food park. You do, really. Well, what's terrible?
Well, boss, the celebration of the centenary signifies the stupendous ceremonial splendor of the semi-sister family sensationalism.
Well, well, same pattern, same shirt. Come on, Sam. I say it's come over dark. No, it hasn't. It's a swarm of licorice all sorts or something. Well, bigger bang with a new silk hat and beautifully creased legs. Well, well. How are you, you old scoundrel?
What?
Master P.C., when you do come back to Tomtopia, Big Chief Income Tax waits for you.
Oh, thank you, Bangalore. I think she looks charming with that bracelet round her ankle.
Can I do you now, sir?
Dear old Mrs. Mott, well, you do look well. You know, my dado has never been the same since you dusted it last.
I've brought this for you, sir.
Oh, isn't that nice? Well, what is it?
It's a special birthday cake made out of me head.
All right, I'll put a bonnet on before I eat it. Well, goodbye, lovey.
TTFN.
NCTWWASBE.
What's that, sir?
Never clean the window with a soft boiled egg. Well, it is nice to see the old pals again.
And did you know how the name Itmar originated? But Tommy gave the answer in an interview.
It was originally called It's That Man Again, and when we were down in Bristol, you know, we all went there when the war broke out, I was doodling on the script, you know, or waiting for gags or doing gags, and I'd written It's That Man Again with big capital letters, and it suddenly came to me, I-T-M-A, Itmar. But, you know, there's lots of people who still don't know what it means.
Really?
I had a letter the other day. It said that some friends had had an argument, and one said it was the International Theatrical Managers Association. Or what was it, anyway? There it is.
But tell me, how do you get hold of your characters and your catchphrases?
Well, the catchphrases, as you know, they can't be invented. We can ask the artist to say them, but it's after a period of time that they become popular. I think a lot has got to do with it, the way the artists say them. But our characters are really taken, as you know, from more or less from life.
Oh, they are taken from life, aren't they?
Oh, yes, yes. One in particular was the hesitating man who used to say, gone round the what's-the-name for the analogy to a sunset.
Oh, yes.
Well, I happen to know, at least I used to frequent a certain hostelry where the mine host used to talk exactly like that. If every other sentence was, what's it? For instance, if I asked him how he was, he'd say, oh, I've just got a touch of the what's it, but I've been round to what's it, the chemist, and... He's given me a what's it, and so the what's it went on. We never found out what he had.
Ted Kavanagh was the man responsible for all of the Itmar scripts. He recalled his first meeting with Tom.
I'd seen Tommy and heard him on the old Cat's Whisker, and a great admirer of his, both as a stage performer and a radio performer, and I had an idea once of writing a script which I sent in to the BBC at Savoy Hill. And Tommy did it, and I took the pains to go around and see him. I was then a very struggling writer, but Tommy was starring at the Holborn Empire. And that's just nearly 21 years ago, and I'm very glad to say that here on the 28th of October, 1948, I think it is, correct. I never know one year from another, we are still together. And I only hope we're together for at least another 21 years, which will make Tommy's age then about 127, and I will be about, I should think, around about 129.
And remembering some of Tommy's earlier days, Jack Hilton.
There was only one Tommy. I'd known him for years. Well, we were in concert party together just after the First War, so you can work it out for yourself. It was strange that after all those years I should present him as a star in the stage version of Itmar.
In those concert party days, Tommy Handy was a straight singer, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, he had a very good baritone voice. Of course, as you may have heard, we teamed up for a while as a double act, Hilton and Handley. And that reminds me of a favourite story of mine, which has rather a Christmas flavour about it. At my suggestion, we invited an agent to see us work at the Bedford Camden Town. And to make a good impression, we spent all our money on a bottle of whiskey.
What happened?
Well, the agent came to see us in our dressing room, which we were sharing with a fellow who did an act as a performing cat. The plan didn't work. The agent drank all our scotch, didn't give us a single date, but booked the cat for pantomime.
The background of a trooper. But the man who cleverly developed the series and held the reins so efficiently was the producer, Francis Worsley. So, may I present some excerpts from Itmar.
What about this tour around the island?
Oh, yes. Now, get my address book, will you?
Yeah, here you are, Gov.
Oh, that's right. Ah, now, here's a good one. A cactus on sea. Three elephant parade. Manageress, Ma Hoot. Tent and breakfast, 15 bob. With use of jungle, 15 and a penny. Well, we'd better take Macintosh, it, Herb. We've just had a gale warning.
An ale warning. Thank you, sir.
Ah, oh, here he comes. All wet and windy, eh? Are you coming with me, Colonel? I've got you a camel.
A camel, sir, is an animal after my own heart. I'm told it goes 7 days without water.
Right. Well, the one I've got for you goes 7 days without whiskey.
Impossible, sir.
Well, if you're going with me on my tour, you'll have to bring your own supply of drinks.
That's very necessary in the jungle, Handler.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm determined to defend myself against mosquitoes.
I'd love to see you trying to swat one with a bottle. Have you ever thought of going slightly teetotal, Colonel?
No, sir. Thank heavens I've never lost my sense of humor.
You're quite right, but I wish you wouldn't laugh at your own soaks.
I say, is my friend Major Mundy coming?
Ooh, I expect so. Dear old Mundy, eh? Yes, keeps asking me if Florence Nightingale still lives in Berkeley Square. Well, I'm glad you're coming with me, Colonel. I tell you what, I'll put you in charge of the first aid.
Thank you. You're right, sir. I can find a drink anywhere. I'll find some port wine, some fruity port wine. Twill make you happy. Twill make you sway.
I'd like some cold beer that's not too old, dear.
So we'll drive the blue monkeys away.
He's a grand old sporter. What a traveler, eh? You know, he was the first white man to cross the Zambezi.
On a barrel?
No, on an aspirin.
Jack Train, that was. And through the Itmar door enters...
Can I do your nails, sir? Oh.
Mrs. Muff, with a horn-rimmed bonnet and caterpillar boots. Have you just shuffled up a buffalo?
It's me, Sir Ensemble, sir.
Well, you're bursting out of your perimeter. Well, I like the general pattern.
My friend Mrs. Plackett designed it.
It's a bit saucy, isn't it?
Oh, no, sir. Mrs. Plackett's most respectable.
Well, I know she is. She always powders her nose with a veil down. I mean, is she a dressmaker?
Well, hardly, sir. She's a wonder at making, doing, mending.
No.
Why, she made a blouse out of a pyramid.
Quite. All right. Well, now, Missy, then, you know I'm going to publish the first edition of my paper.
Oh, sir. I once went out with a reporter.
Oh?
He took down everything I said.
Really?
Dorothy Summers. Now, who's next?
Oh, hello, Monday.
Ah, my dear Excellency. I must thank you for inviting my daughter to accompany you.
Well, I'm glad she's coming, Monday. She can ride on the handlebars of the elephant.
She's a tender flower, sir.
Yes, just my pick.
What's that?
I said we must be quick.
Eric!
Oh, that's the wife outside. What shall I say?
Well, tell her off.
Yes, my dear.
That's no way to talk to her. Leave it to me. Now then, Mrs. Monday, what's all this?
Take that!
Oh, thank you. Good night. Lovely grub. Well, now that's settled.
Well, there was Carlton Hobbs. Now, back to Tommy with Sam, and Sam's Sidney Keith.
What's the time, Sam?
I don't know, boss. Why don't you dial Tim?
I will. T. I. Am. Hello, is that you, Tim? This is Tom. What's the time?
The time, Tom.
Yes, Tim.
Well, the time is 10 to 10, Tom.
10 to 10, Tim. Tom, I took a taxi, but it's in the toffee. Shut out, Tim. Well, that's funny. That's funny, Sam. She said exactly the same thing at 9:50 this morning. I'll have to tick Tim off. Now, I wonder if Peter Geek is coming.
Yeah, Peter Geeky. And the sweet young thing was Jean Capra. Now, how about this? It's a bit of fun, but what articulation? It's Tommy.
Well, open the piano.
Yeah.
Jimmy Binks would have been a handsome fellow if he'd had a new face and a different smell about his mouth. Quit him. From winning in a beauty show, he just looked like a steamboat funnel, a railway arch or a backyard funnel, but you can't see Jim. Well, he opened his wide, you know. And when poor Jimmy goes walking about, you'll hear the kids all hollering out, what a mouth, what a mouth, what an orphan sound. Crack him, what a mouth he's got. When he was a youngster, all lovely, poor old mother used to feed him with a shovel, what a gap. Poor chap, he's never been known to harm. For if he did, it's a very joke with his face would fall in half.
Wait,
shut up.
Yes, that's very quick. Do you think you can remember it?
Remember it? Yeah. Of course. I can sing it with my hands behind my back. Come, John. Now, come on, let's get along to the concert. This way, everybody.
Great sailors for Captain Bobard.
Island!
Please. He's got a face like a choking porpoise.
What then?
I said, let's start with the opening chorus.
Be quiet. It's my privilege tonight to introduce our compere. Or should I say our come here?
Come where?
Come here!
Get out of it!
Quiet, be quiet! Island! Order!
Quiet, Colonel.
I never said a word, sir.
Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir.
Ladies only!
Ah, passengers all, how delightful to see you enjoying yourselves. And in such a good cause. When the collection boxes are handed round, you all know what to do.
Yes. Herb, get me a table knife, Herb, will you?
And here's that very famous conductor, Mr. Charles...
Tadpole.
No, funnier than that.
Oh, funny, huh?
Mr. Charles, Mr. Shadwell. Come on, Mr. Shadwell, and show yourself.
That's going to take a bit of doing.
Itmar always featured a special arrangement for the orchestra. This is part of Barnacle Bill, recorded in one of His Majesty's ships during the war. By Arthur Sanford, who was also the pianist. On now to Sam Scram.
There's another gent to see you, boss.
Oh, what's his name?
Yes, boss. This way, sir.
Yes, boss.
Well. If it isn't old...
That's right, you're... No.
That's it. Your memory must be getting you what you would call...
Well, it certainly is. How's yours? Last time I saw you, it was beginning to get a bit...
Oh, yeah. It's a bit better now. I took a course of lessons from old thing.
Well, I've got a wonderful slip of paper, you know, for helping me to remember the.
Really? Yes. How does it? You know.
Yes, yes. I suppose you've heard I'm opening a sort of a.
Yes, yes, rather. Ought to be a big.
Oh, it's bigger than that. It's bigger. We're going to have a couple of in a sort of a kind of a.
Oh, that'll be handy, won't it? Yes. When. By the way, when are you going to, you know?
Oh, on the day, what day is it? A week from now, is it?
Oh, now you're asking. Yes. It'll be, let's see now, what's the day?
Well, yesterday was, no, that was the day before. That.
Yes. That's right. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go outside and have a...
Banana?
No. No, I'll just have a...
Have a sack.
I'll have a... When are they...
Have another. Well, that's an idea. Yes. I'll see you on the...
No. Too busy.
Horace Percival playing one of his many characters.
Ahoy there.
Oh, hello, George. gorging my way.
Oh, boy, what a breakfast. I've had 6 plates of porridge, a pork chop, 3 plates of fat bacon and fried eggs, lashings and waffles and maple syrup, and a gallon of coffee. Oh, lovely grub.
Well, listen, Sacco. You better slip down to the galley and ask the cook to give you an audition.
That's a good idea. So long, mate. Lovely grub.
Well. What a capacity, eh? He deserves the Gorge Medal. Well, now, I better slip round and warn Curly Kale, the cook. Oh, hello, Curly. What's cooking?
Don't ask me, sir. It makes me sick to think of it.
Well, do they eat it?
Some of them, sir, but I'll get enough back to carry on with.
Lovely Grub was our old friend Fred Yule, and Curly Kale, Hobbo, Carlton Hobbs. But we mustn't forget Frisbee Dyke.
Ray, never in the whole of my 300 itmars have I heard such a piece of concentrated cacophony.
What's concentrated cacophony?
So I hit John Snag in the eye with a handful of peas pudding and ate. What did you say?
I said, what's concentrated cacophony?
Frisbee. You come in here looking like the top of an old chutney bottle with the cork out and dare to interrupt me, and wrongly too. Now listen, Frisbee, this is an important day to me.
Oh, it's an important day for me too.
Oh, why?
Well, me sister's going into corduroy trousers. She likes the noise they make when she walks.
What? Noise? What sort of a noise?
Well, it's a kind of concentrated cacophony.
And without warning, that Itmar door opened and closed forever. During the 10 years run of Itmar, the show played a command performance at Windsor Castle, entertained the fleet at Scarpa Flow, and broadcast each week to one of the largest audiences ever known throughout most of the world. During his life, Tommy had little time for recreation, but he loved his club, the Savage Club. And at his funeral, some of his brother Savages sang... privilege of arranging a memorial service at St. Paul's Cathedral, and another was held in the cathedral of Tommy's hometown, Liverpool. At the memorial service in St. Paul's, Dr. Wand, the Bishop of London, in his address said,
"From the highest to the lowest in the land, men and women of every station have found in his program an escape from their troubles and anxieties into the realm of whimsical nonsense. Who can tell how great a benefit he conferred upon our nation in the days of its grimmest endeavor and its dreariest frustration?"
A wonderful tribute to a great comedian. It's time now for me to say cheerio, or more appropriately, TTFN.
Well, the story of Itmar was told by Clarence Wright with recordings from the BBC Sound Archives.
And the program was produced by Leslie Perrone.